I'll give you just a second to get in. Hasn't the workshop been wonderful? It's wonderful every year, and by the time you come to Saturday, it's always a very tiring thing. And you're so full, and the Spirit is so much within you that you just wonder, what on earth? What on earth? What am I even doing here? I can't wait for heaven. You know, a lot of people get a lot of things out of the workshop, and I think I'm echoing big time. Is this microphone on? Am I echoing out there? It's kind of, well, I've never used one of these either, so maybe that's what it is. And I'm very hoarse today because I practiced quite a bit yesterday. And I want to tell you that this sermon will let you out about 5 o'clock this afternoon. So I'm being totally led by the Spirit. And I intentionally didn't go to the bathroom before I came because I thought sooner or later I'll have to quit. I got to tell you, one of the major things that I got out of the workshop this year, I took my granddaughter, and I know a lot of you have granddaughters and grandchildren. I have 3. They're just precious. But I took her with me to the pavilion yesterday, and we were listening to the sermon, and it was a good sermon, what you can get when there's a 2-year-old sitting next to you. Now, keep in mind, she's only 2 years old. And I was with my dear, dear friend Debbie House, and we were sitting there, and I had bought Madeline popcorn, so I thought, man, this will work, you know. So I put her there with her popcorn. She was between Debbie and I. And she eating her popcorn along, and the preacher said something about Noah, and I don't even know what it was, to tell you the truth. I'm not sure I was listening that well at that point. But she goes, Grammy, was Noah mean? And I said, oh, no, Madeline. Noah was nice. And she said, do you know what makes popcorn so yummy? Same breath. I don't think she even took butter. Butter. Yeah, she was right. So I couldn't wait to tell Stacy, my precious daughter-in-law, salt of the earth. I couldn't wait to tell her, you know. I didn't hear it, but Madeline did. And she said, oh, Debbie, I have to tell you, I was in that class where the lady was teaching how to teach class and things like that. And she said, it was so funny. She said, Madeline was writing in her little book and writing along and all that. And the lady said something about, and she was talking about teaching. She said, give it a shot. It's nice and fine. And you may be in here, whoever you are, and it may not have been exactly like that, but, you know, God gave me the authority to paraphrase like preachers do. And so, anyway, if I don't get this out just right, well, it's me and the Spirit. You just have to understand. So, anyway, she said, the lady said something to the effect, okay, that give it a shot, it's nice and fun. And Madeline said, did she say shots were nice and fun? So then Stacy and I went to meet Sean. And I said, oh, Sean, I got to tell you these stories. And we were having lunch yesterday, and Sean says, Mom, I have to tell you one. He said, last night we were in bed, and said Stacy was in the middle, and Madeline was on the other side of her, and I was over here. And I was just praying and praying, and Madeline was talking all through the prayer. And so when the prayer was over, he said, Madeline, what were you saying? And she said, thank you for being on the cross. And he said, who was on the cross? And she said, Jesus. I want to get this right because this was good. Jesus was on the cross for us. And Sean, this is my son. He's so smart. He's a doctor. He said, and then what happened? He fell off. You know who I thank for things like that? I thank the people that are helping to raise those children, and they're saying the right thing. I'm thankful for people like Ronnie and Dennis that teach the children's class here at church and the things she hears there. We talked about God last night in the car as we were going to the restaurant. She said, "We love God, Grammy." I said, "Boy, Madeline, we sure do. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? If we could just do that from the time they're little like that." I prayed for her before she was born. I prayed for my children before they were born. I have two children. I have a daughter and a son by birth. I have four children by life. Because from the time my children were little bitty, I was praying for Stacy. She didn't know it. She wasn't even born. I was praying for her. And I was praying for Chris, my precious son-in-law, that takes care of my daughter. And I have four of the most wonderful children anybody could ever have because God gave them to me. And He's blessed me in so many ways. And those grandchildren, there's two boys and a girl. My oldest one, he was born 1 pound and 11 ounces. He's a miracle. Do I believe in miracles? You better look at that 5-year-old boy and say, "God, there is a God. And He's here to do those miracles, and He's done it." He's a wonderful child, smartest little boy. Smartest little girl. Now we got a little smart baby growing up here. And if you want to tell about yours, you volunteer next time. Well, I have to tell you something about Billy Links and Jonelle, okay? I got sandwiched in between what probably... Well, maybe. My two worst enemies. God does things like that, doesn't He? He just puts you in there and crushes you up right between them. Jonelle, if you're in the room, and I heard you yesterday, you're really good. But if you're in the room, I want you to know that I am the person that had 2 days to get ready for 3 lessons 2 years ago, and you owe me big time. And I'll be talking to you when this is over. And Billy... And I think she's already gone on to be with her friend. But I have to tell you, Billy did work for us in high school. And I was an old lady then. She was the girl in high school. And it makes me feel old. But boy, it makes me feel blessed when I see things like that. The things that I just saw makes me feel so blessed. Because I know Billy. And I know her heart. But she's an enemy. And I have to tell you, she's the one that told Terry I'd do those 3 lessons in 2 days. A lot of you have heard my story before, and it won't be new to you, but I'll tell you, I just have like one or two stories, and God has to give me the rest. So if He has something to tell you, He'll let us know. Otherwise, I'll have to go on with kind of what happened in my life before. When I think of hope, I think a lot about growing up out in the Panhandle of Texas. My earliest childhood memories were of my mother carrying me on the back of her cotton sack as we went through the rows. And then when I got too heavy to carry, she'd put me down in the middle of the row and have me pull bowls and make a little pile. And then when she came back down the row, she'd pick my pile up and put it in her sack. And then she would move me over a few rows. And I guess you could say that was the first job I ever had. And I moved on from that to pulling bowls and walking those aisles and carrying those heavy sacks and chopping cotton. And then when I got in what they would now call middle school, back then it was junior high, I went to work car hopping. Boy, that's a really humbling job. And then I moved on and I did babysitting and I worked as a waitress and I worked in the drugstore. And I never remember not working in my life. And it gave me a lot of time for hopes and dreams and plans and a lot of things that I knew I wanted to do with my life. The one thing I knew more than I knew anything else is that I never, ever wanted to go back to the cotton fields of the Panhandle of Texas. I, like many of you, hoped for my knight in shining armor, the prince from Cinderella, Prince Charming. Oh, happily ever after. You remember? But you know, we weren't married too long until I figured out that happy and ever after didn't quite go together. Now, just by the way you just laughed, I know that you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I'm not here alone. God is with me, and I've got sisters here who know the ropes. I did grow up. And it wasn't always easy. I was not the popular girl in school, I can tell you that. I was the girl that worked and the girl that was made fun of. When I was in the sixth grade, I was 5'9" tall. I'm a little shorter than that now. They say old age does that, but I think it's just, you know, I'm well preserved. I've taken care of myself. But anyway, it made me shorter because I always hoped I'd be shorter. I always did. I never liked being 5'9". I was flat on one side as I was on the other. Looked more like an ironing board than I did a real person. And all the boys at school made sure I knew that. So you can imagine some of the fun that I had in school. It's amazing how I go back now and I'm friends with everybody. And they forgot they did it, but sometimes it's so hard for me to forget. But you know, those are the people that built me for my life. And I didn't know at that time because I was hurting. And I didn't know those were the builders. But that's what helped me to become what I am today. We brought both of our baggage from our families into our marriage, as does everyone. And as we're working on our 34th year together, we're in one of the best seasons of our life. We thank God that we worked on it, because as long as two people are together, it'll be a work in progress. It would take days to give you the details of everything that's gone on in our life. If you were in those three sessions, I'm sure you heard it. It's all I had. The birth, the death, the illnesses, the arguments, too much work, too little time together, but through it all, if we put every marriage we know in a jar and shake it up, I still believe ours would rise to the top. I'm so blessed that God knew who my mate would be before I did. He knew that through the ups and downs in life, that we'd make it together. There's a hope that ends with happily ever after. And maybe today I want to give you a glimpse into that hope. The Greek meaning of hope is much stronger than what we know it. We usually think of wishing or dreaming, things we want. But in the Greek, it's elpis, the word elpis, and it means to desire something good with the expectation of obtaining it. It's not just a wish, it's not just a dream, but an expectation. I want to preface everything I say today by telling you that I do not want you to think in any way I'm boasting, because everything I have belongs to God. And for the person you see up here today belongs to God. And I will tell you some things that worked for me. Please don't think I'm boasting in anything that I say. God gave me everything I have, and it's to His glory. Okay? Please. Step one is finding hope in relationships. I've been listening to this therapist on tape, and she says that everyone has 10 weaknesses going into a marriage. Now, everyone does not have the same weaknesses, but if you change mates over and over and over, you're still going to find 10 weaknesses. They're just going to be maybe different, different weaknesses. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage because there are no perfect people. Sometimes we put our hope in others and it only brings us disappointments. Sometimes our immaturity to make the wrong choices brings us the wrong choice. And for better or for worse, we feel like we have to stick it out and then we die. And what an existence is that? It's horrible. This lady goes on to say, women marry hoping to change a man, but a man marries because he likes who he is when he's with that woman. She goes on to give what has become life-changing advice for me. And it's something I'd already started practicing. I was so proud of myself when I heard it. Oh, I did that. I do that. Oh, don't you feel good when you're already doing something that they say you're supposed to be doing? But I hadn't been doing it very long. I want to tell you about more of that in just a minute. First, I want to preface it with what made me decide to do it. 2 years ago, we were blessed, and after 27 years of being in SkyTech and living in the same house that was supposed to be a temporary house when we moved there, a tornado had hit the town, and taken away a lot of the houses and all. So there wasn't a lot of places to live there. Am I doing something wrong, Jack? I'm sorry, guys. Ooh, my stomach must be growling or something. Anyway, we were blessed with this house. And after living the same place for the 27 years and building all of our children's memories there, I went through times that I reminded my husband over and over, well, this wasn't the dream house. You know, this was supposed to be temporary. You know, things like that at that time, there wasn't a whole lot we could do about it. We got into some financial binds. We're in the drugstore business. We've had 4 drugstores. We're down to 2 now, and one of them, we helped get a guy through pharmacy school, and he took over for us. So praise God, we're just in charge of one right now, and I'm so thankful for that. But we were blessed with an opportunity to buy a house. Now, it took quite a while to buy this house, and I do want to tell you that it was a God story all the way through. It took me 9 months, and it had to be when the price was right and the papers were signed, and then we got to move in. And even though the house was just a year and a half old, it still wasn't my dream house. There was just things about it that I wanted different, like tearing all the cabinets out in the house. And so that's why the house had to have the right price on it, is because I needed to make it what we needed in our life. And so anyway, it looks out over the most beautiful Skytook Lake you've ever seen in your life. It's just the prettiest thing, and there's just God stories come out of it every single day, and I'm so blessed. And we looked at the house, and we said, oh, this is good. This is a good house. And then when they finished it in March of this last year, we looked at it, and we said, this is very good. And so many things have happened in just this past year in that house. But I decided, I said, God, you gave me this house. This is your house. This is not my house. It's not my car sitting out there. It's not the clothes I wear. And sometimes God has an awful lot of clothes, David notices. Sometimes God has too many shoes. But it still belongs to God. He gave every bit of it to me. And you're not going to walk in my house that you won't notice the things on the wall, the scripture, the things like that. But I want you to know, God lives in my house because He lives in my heart. When I saw it and I said it was very good, I was so thankful to David. I was so thankful to God. And I couldn't wait to tell God, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I knew that since this was God's house and He was giving me the blessings of letting us live there. In fact, I knew everything we had was His. I thought, you know what? My days must become more organized. I must learn how to do the things for God and not for me. And I'm going to give you some examples of some things I did during that time to help me know what to do. Before I get out of bed, I start my day thanking and praising God. And He is so good. Don't forget to take the time to praise Him, because I want Him to know that I think so, that I think He's the best. I think He's the best. Not only do I pray, but a long time ago I read an article by Norman Vincent Peale. And there's something that he does every day, and I can't believe I'm so dry, except I put that teeth whitener on my teeth this morning. And so if you see me foaming at the mouth or something, I don't know if you've ever had that stuff on your teeth, but it just makes it look like, okay, I'm going into convulsions now. And that must have made me really dry. So forgive me for that, but this is how it all starts out. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? I believe we can handle any problem that might arise. I feel good physically, mentally, emotionally. It is wonderful to be alive. I'm grateful for everything I've had, for everything I now have, and for everything I will have. Things aren't going to fall apart. God is here. He is with me, and He'll see me through. I thank God for every good thing. I expect the best, and with God's help, I will attain the best. I expect the best, and with God's help, I will attain the best. And I do that 10 times. And then, oh, thank you so much. What a sweet sister. I'll just keep a drinking. I'm a real drinker. And let me see where I am now. I do that one 10 times. And today is the day of my amazing good fortune. Today is the day of my amazing good fortune. Today is the day of my amazing good fortune. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank Him for His answers. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank Him for His answers. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank Him for His answers. Oh, that You would bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Keep Your hand upon me and keep me from the evil one, that I may not cause pain or have pain. So you can see a lot of that scripture right out of the scripture, but a lot of it I put my own spin on because it's things that make me be a better Christian and feel better about being with God for the day. Starts a good day out. About 6:15, I go into my study, and I'm doing a Bible study right now by Beth Moore called Breaking Free, and it is wonderful. If you're not in your own Bible study, in your own little closet, in your own little corner of the world, I'm sorry, ladies, I can't help you. Only God can help you. Because we expect Him to do all these things, but we forget Him. And if we keep forgetting Him, in fact, this is it. Well, there's a lot of this that hasn't been in the lesson, so I guess I can add something else. I ask Him to help me, and I guess He will. But I learned a poem when I was very, very young. No time. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. Must hurry off and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I said a hurried prayer, jumped up from off my knees. My Christian duty now was done. My soul could be at ease. All through the day, I had no time to speak a word of cheer. No time to talk to friends in need. They'd laugh at me, I fear. No time, no time. It was my constant cry. No time to give to those in need. At last was time to die. When before the Lord I came, I stood with downcast eyes. For in His hands, He held a book. It was the book of life. God looked into His book and said, "Your name I cannot find." I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. Don't let it happen. Don't let that happen in your life. Because I've been there. I've done that. I didn't give Him the time. I didn't have time. My life was too busy. I didn't have time to do that. How do you not have time? How do you get through life without turning to God? I told you all that to tell you this. Well, let me finish that story because I'll never get back to it. At 7:30, I have my TV set to come on to a talk show on TV. And it has different authors on it. It's a religious talk show, all different denominations, but mostly authors. They have some very good material. Some, no. Some, a lot, yes. At 8 o'clock exactly, my CD comes on in my bathroom, and I get out the hand weights. My life is in You, Lord. My hope is, or whatever, my strength. My life, my strength, my hope is in You, Lord. And I do a few exercises in the morning to my praise and worship tape. Have praise and worship tape that goes through speakers throughout my house. And if you come there, more than likely it'll be on. If you walk in our drugstore or put on hold, more than likely that's what you're going to hear. We've had nurses say, "Would you put me on hold again? I really needed that." I decided in a house that I said was God's, I wanted to get out of the rut. I decided I would do everything I could to hold my tongue, even if I had to bite it off. And I'll tell you what. It stays sore most of the time. Now, I don't want it to sound like we were always in conflict. It's nothing like that. Nothing. But I wanted it to be better, and I knew it had to start with me. Instead of criticizing, I would praise Him. I would learn to give compliments like you've never heard before. And you know what happened? He started doing the same thing back to me. I love it. In the tape series I've been listening to, that's what she said every woman should do. I'd already started, but she gave me so much insight. Now, I've been to Mary's seminars. I've read all the books, and I've bought him lots of books that he's never read. Have you ever done that? Oh, honey, look, let's make you better. I've always tried to make my husband better. It's not going to happen until you make you better. It won't happen. She said, find something every day to compliment your husband about. If you realize you've missed a day, do it twice the next day. If you realize you've missed it then, do it three times the day after that. Because that's the only way it's all going to work. It's all going to pull together. And you know, as many seminars as I've been in, I've heard people say compliment your mate, but I never really heard it elaborated on, and I'd never heard it really work the way that she said it would. But it was working. It was working. If you still have children at home, do the same thing with them. I'll tell you what, if you have little kids and they're bothering you while you're on the telephone and you reach and get them a sucker, you're giving them the behavior. I have a dog. I know what you do. You give them something to get them out of your face. Quit barking. Quit barking. Here's your doggy treat. And guess what happens? The next thing you know, they're right there. When you catch them, you're on the phone, you catch them not disturbing you. Or when you're doing something and you need time and you catch them not, love them. Love them and say, I am so proud of you. I'm so very, very proud of you. You made Mommy so happy. Here's your sucker. You know, we have reverse psychology going on here. We do it all the wrong ways and then expect them to grow up and live the right way. Something's wrong here. The insults of those that you insult have fallen on me, Christ says. In Romans 15, 1 through 4. You may not have time to turn to all these, so if you want to just write them down, because when my mouth starts moving, sometimes you think I'm a southern person that just kind of gets all caught up in tongues or something. We who are strong ought to bear with the fallings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope. And up there where it says please, and I'm not trying to change the Bible, but you could actually put compliment in there and it would be the same thing that this verse says. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to compliment ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good. Should compliment his neighbor for his good to build him up. Would it work? Would that work in that sentence? Let's think of it that way and say, you know what? God is the complimenter of all. We've got to do that. I've been amazed at the way David's changed. When we change ourselves, other people change too. He's good. He was very good to me. I had no reason to criticize him. I had no reason to say, you know, is that the way you're going to do that? Is that the clothes you're going to wear? I heard Joniel say yesterday, don't criticize. Oh, I'll tell you what, it takes a billion compliments to get over one criticism. Don't do it, ladies, don't do it. By the way, she did take part of my lesson, so if this doesn't sound good, it's because the meat of it she took. Last Saturday, we had a long list of things to do. A long list. Part of it was finishing my lesson up. David's treasure at church. He had to get the books taken care of. He had a meeting on Wednesday night that he needed to have things ready for a budget. We had a list of things a mile long. I had a few honeydews on that, and he had a few for me that I needed to take care of on the computer. We have some new rules coming down from the government. Anyway, they need to send women to tell them how to run this war, because I could tell them how to run the government. Couldn't we all? No. Anyway, sometimes he comes home in the middle of the day, but sometimes he's off on Saturday. And you know what he did? He said, Debbie, it's a beautiful day today. Let's lay outside a while. We went out. We laid out about 4 hours. We grilled. We went in and we watched a movie. We did some other things we won't even go into here. We had one of the best days of our life, and I thought, God, you're here, and this is the way life's supposed to be. We're supposed to enjoy each other. We laughed that night about the things that we never got done. This had been my hope, and God was taking care of the details. We have to let go and let God have our life, our things, our relationships, so we can see the happily ever after more clearly. In order to be a woman of hope, we have to have faith in step two. The definition of faith is given in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain for what we do not see. In Luke 8, you remember the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She touched it so she could be healed. You know, preachers don't preach on this very much because they don't want to talk about somebody bleeding, for one thing, and they know what that means. And I don't know if many of you have visited foreign countries or not, but David and I have been fortunate enough to travel all over the world, and there's signs at the entrance of a lot of temples that say things to the effect that if you're bleeding, don't go inside. You're not accepted there. So see, each time that a woman had a period and went through that time of the month, everyone knew it. She didn't show up for church. Sometimes you don't feel like it anyway, do you? But see, I kind of know what it's like to bleed for a long time, not 12 years. I bled a few months, and my hormones went up and down like crazy. I was so weak. And I was in my early 20s. And I ended up having to have a total hysterectomy, and there's a whole other story. So if I'm not harmonious, it's not my own fault, because But this poor woman had been bleeding for 12 years. Not only that, but you were so unclean that you were a social outcast. She more than likely, if she ever had a husband, no longer had one because you couldn't have sexual relations. You were unclean. This lady was almost penniless because she had spent everything she had on doctors trying to find it, trying to find a cure. And then there was this crowd, and it was all around Jesus. And she goes, oh, if I can just touch him. Oh, please let me through. Please, please, please. I can see her. I can see her trying to get through. Please let me touch Jesus and be healed. Please, please. And she reached out, and she finally got to him, and she finally touched him. And you know what she did? She had to have. She had to have. She had to have. Oh, there went my microphone. That gave me a buzz. Now that was dramatic, wasn't it? I'm sorry. This was a good story, too. She touched him, and I know that she did. She rose up a new person, and she... Can you imagine how she must have felt after 12 years? Can you even begin to imagine? And Jesus says, who touched me? He felt the power go out of him. Do you think Jesus didn't know who touched him? Of course he knew who touched him. Of course he did. But she was trembling. She was trembling, and she said, it was me. I've been bleeding 12 years. She told this whole crowd. I've been bleeding 12 years. Can you even begin to imagine the peace she must have had when Jesus said, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Oh, the gentleness. The gentleness to know that God is there. That Jesus Christ is right here. He's right here. He's everywhere. Oh, the peace she must have known. Our Bible's full of faith stories. Don't miss them. Don't miss them. You're not always going to get fed in church. It's not the preacher's fault. I have the best preacher in the world. Well, Terry Rush wouldn't say that. Oh, Terry, in case you're listening to this tape, you guys have to fight that out. Step three, finding hope and forgiveness. I can't miss this one. I can't. Because you know what? The woman caught in adultery in John 8, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to believe that this passage was left out of some of the manuscripts of the Bible because this is so important. It tells me one of the best stories on forgiveness I've ever heard. If you remember, the Pharisees brought this woman in there and said, Jesus, what would you do? You think this woman was wearing a sheet? What do you think she's wearing? Now, see, my mind goes crazy when I read the Bible. I just think of all kinds of things that could have happened. Well, if they caught her in adultery, don't you think she must have had to pick up the first thing she could find? And it could have just, she could have just been really just wrapped in a sheet or wrapped in anything. But I can see this picture in my mind. And here she is, this whole crowd or whatever, and Jesus is there, and they say, what do you want us to do with her? Is it okay if we stone her? Because look what she did. We caught her in adultery. One thing, the Jews did not stone their own normally back then. And the other thing is, they were trying to accuse Jesus. They were trying to catch him in anything that was wrong and against the old law. So, and on top of that, they usually brought the man and the lady, so it wasn't just the lady, as if we were the worst of all of it. But anyway, I can see my daddy doing what Jesus did when this lady was accused. They said, do you think we should stone her? And Jesus stoops down, and he writes in the ground. My daddy used to do this. I remember my daddy. I don't think Jesus was writing anything. I think he's probably doodling, because that's what my daddy did. But I know it didn't say check yes or no. I know there was something else going on there. So I know that he must have been thinking. And so then he rose up and he said, you who have not sinned, cast the first stone. And then he stooped down again to write. And when he looked up again, they had gone. And the older ones went first and then the younger ones behind. And when he looked up, that lady was still there. Now, I don't know about you ladies. I believe I would have hightailed it out of there. You know, what's he going to say to me now? But she was waiting. And she was waiting for Jesus to say, they had not accused her and neither would he. Go your way and sin no more. Many of us have had hurts and pains and heartaches in our lives. Things that we may not have had any control over whatsoever. In fact, we don't have the control. We have choices. But God has the control. He gets us out of things that we get into so many times. Some of you are still holding on to childhood abuses, marriages that have gone bad, children who never lived up to your expectations, unfaithful relationships, people who have hurt us so bad. Sometimes what they have done wasn't even a sin in the eyes of God. We just hate them for something that went on in their life. Don't get trapped in the past. Leave it with God and go on with your life. Don't let the enemy rob you of your life. It's not right. God has something better for you. God has something. And you can always have a woulda, shoulda, coulda attitude, but it never works out until you give it up. You'll harbor hate. You're trying to pay a debt that you'll never be able to pay, and you collect one that may not even be collectible. You receive God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's grace, and you go on with your life. Our hope's in the future. We've got to press on. Refuse to dwell on yesterday's disappointment. My daddy used to say that the failures in life is just the college of life. When you get finished, graduate and go on. My daddy was a smart man, though he never had a college education. Our enemy is trying to keep it from us. He's trying to keep any of the good from happening. Remember, you don't have to pay back the past. It's already been paid. My Aunt Chris was a very dear woman to me, and she was like a mother to me because she never had any children, and I was kind of it to her. But she had something in her life that she couldn't seem to get over, and she lived to be 84 years old, but she still held a grudge of two brothers that took the crop one year when she was a kid, and she didn't get to go on to school because her brothers took the crop. Well, what I need to tell you is that these brothers had been dead for years. One time she went out and bought an organ. She didn't even play the organ. She went out and bought the organ just to prove that she had the money to do it without even going to college or anything, because Buck and Bee took the money and she never had the chance to do it. And every time she'd look at that organ, she'd tell me this story about Buck and Bee and how they got the money, and she never did. She didn't get to go on and go to school and all that, and she harbored this in her life. And on my daddy's deathbed, he wanted everybody to be saved and everybody to have it right with God, and he said, Aunt Chris, you're going to have to forgive Buck and Bee. Because God can only forgive you if you forgive them. And then later on, she caught herself trying. I would have kicked that organ out of the house so quick. That organ was a replica of what that meant to her. Every time she looked at it, she thought that. And when it went up for sale in the auction, I would have taken anything she had before I would have taken that organ. Because I knew what was behind that. Do we have symbols around us that remind us of things that we are harboring unforgiveness for? My daddy talked to her, and then she slipped one time and almost told me about it again. And she said, oh, I've forgiven them. It's hard to forget. Yeah, sometimes they're hard to forget, aren't they? But we've got to forget it. We've got to forgive it. Because in the Lord's Prayer, I mean, all of us know the Lord's Prayer. Everybody does. Verse 12, forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. But we don't go on down past the part that the Lord's Prayer ends, where it says, verse 14 and 15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Father will forgive your sins. But if you do not forgive them their sins, your Father won't forgive you. Boy, your Father will not forgive you. Is it worth it to go to hell, to lose eternity because you're harboring hate? You're harboring something against another person. Is it worth it to you? We got to think long and hard about that. We got to think really long. I heard it explained like this one time, and this is one of the best things I've ever heard. And put this in your heart and keep it. Not forgiving someone is like you drinking the poison and waiting for them to fall dead. Is that not true, ladies? You drinking the poison and waiting for them to fall dead, because we're carrying that baggage. We're carrying those backpacks that are full of hate and full of envy and full of unforgiveness. I always tell people, I love some people a lot better than I love others, but I love everybody. In Ephesians 4 and 30 through 32, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There's some people who are never going to forgive us. No matter what you do, you've done something maybe in your past. and you've asked for forgiveness, and they're not willing to forgive you, I'm going to have to tell you, ladies, put it in the past. God forgives you. If you did it with your heart and through the blood of Jesus Christ, God has forgiven you. Finally, and the most important of all, and I've got the littlest time to spend on this, but I've got to say it, our hope must be in God. It's got to be in God. All the way through Romans 8, Paul talks about the Spirit. If you have not gotten into the Word and worked up the Spirit in your own life, get in there and work it up. At the workshop 2 years ago, I want to tell you that more people who came and talked to me and hugged me, it was over never having experienced the Spirit and not knowing where to get it. And not knowing what happened. And not to embarrass my mother at all, but I was at my dear sister-in-law's house over Thanksgiving. And my sister-in-law and I are on the same level when it comes to this Spirit stuff. We just know that everything we do, God's doing it. Oh, look what God did. Look, oh, God's so good. And so we were into one of these conversations, and my mother, who is not a part of that family because it was my husband's family, but she was driving through and she stopped for Thanksgiving. And we were just blessed to have David's mother and my mother there. But Brenda and I were sitting in the little garden room, and we were talking this. Oh, we were talking the talk, and oh, praise God that this happened. And oh, isn't that wonderful? And my mom just sat there, and that's not like my mom. You have to know my mom. If you think I'm a talker, I got it honestly. Anyway, my mom said, you know, girls, since we're talking about this, she said, you know, I was baptized young, and I've had a lot of sin since then. And she said, I've just always wondered if I needed to be baptized again. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, dear Lord. How many of my sisters, even my mother, doesn't understand that when you're baptized, you're a baby. You're a baby. What does the baby know? I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm being forgiven for every sin I've done up to now. But now I've got to work on this thing. Just like I had to work on my marriage, or just like you have to work on anything else. I have to work on this. I have to put the Spirit in my heart. And boy, it didn't take but a second, and here came Brenda and I. I mean, we were on our platform. Oh, Mom, Mom. This is the way it is. You've got to get the Spirit in your heart. The forgiveness is there if the Spirit's there. You don't have to worry about being baptized again because God's already forgiven you your sins of the past. And every time you ask for repentance, He gives it to you again and again and again. And when you are so filled with the Spirit, you don't know what to do, He does it again. And then when you sin again, He does it again. Oh, is that ever good? It is so good. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way you can have hope. And since I know without a shadow of a doubt, I know we were commanded to be baptized. And they talk about John's baptism of water and then Jesus' baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And you know what? If you don't have it, when I was growing up, in every church I ever went to in my whole life, when they got to the part in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. I never heard that last part. I always wondered what the gift was when I did hear it. And you'll receive the gift. I waited and waited and waited for the gift. Where's the gift? And if you're expecting to sit in church on Sunday and find the gift, it may not be there. I didn't find it in church. When my husband had a stroke at 43 years old, you can believe the Spirit was there then. And you can believe that a lot of illnesses and deaths and births, the 1 pound, 11 ounce baby, boy, can you ever believe that the Spirit was in my life during that time? The Spirit was with me so strong yesterday, I cried a lot of the day. And when I'd go over this, I couldn't get through it because I was crying in the Spirit. I couldn't get through it. Like I told you, we'd be here till 5. And Jonelle, I'm sorry, but you'll just have to wait. I took care of you. You have to take care of me. She wasn't here on the first part. So she doesn't know she's my enemy, but you guys do. And then when they talk about one baptism later on in Ephesians, one body, one spirit, you know, all that, called in one faith and one baptism. It's not contradicting what John said about there being a baptism in the water and the spirit. But you know what? Some people back then got the spirit before they were baptized. Did you know that? Yeah, we read that. And let me see, I've got it down here somewhere. But in case that I can't come up with it right off the top of my head, that's a good thing for you to go and look up yourself, because that's what you should be anyway. You should be in the book. That's our instruction manual. So Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. John 14:14-17, you may ask for anything in my name and I'll do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father and he will give you a counselor. A counselor that will be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees nor know him, but you know him, for he lives within you and he will be with you. Ask for the Spirit in Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit who asks you? We cannot earn it, can't buy it, we'll never deserve it. Never, ever, ever. It's God's gift. But all we have to do is accept it. Where's your hope? I know there's people here just like there was the time before. I know there's people here who have never received the gift. I've asked a couple of ladies to help me this morning, and we're all going to do this together. And if you so desire, if it's not in your spirit to have the Spirit, you don't have to participate. But I've asked a couple of ladies to do something for me this morning, and we're all going to sing a song together. And I want you to close your eyes, and we're going to have the peace of the Spirit today. And I want this room to be so Spirit-filled, I want it to overflow.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to live.